I have surrendered to Jesus, my Lord. I yield to His will. I lay down my sword to pick up His banner and march bold and strong. There is no doubt whose side I am on. I've come through the valley, there's no turning round. I will press toward the Lord's higher ground. The way set before me, my only concern. For I have passed the point of return.
So good to see you in the house of the Lord this evening. As the choir comes down, our ushers are going to come forward and we'll take up our evening offering. In a few moments, we'll have a word of prayer. And if you're visiting here with us tonight, you're our special guest. This is a very special service for us here at Calvary tonight. And I hope that you enjoy the service. But let's just make this evening a matter of prayer. And I pray for those that will be speaking. Pray for Brother Jeff and Miss Sharon, of course. And I just pray that God's will be done here at Calvary tonight. Pray for the moving of the Holy Spirit, that His Spirit would fill the house tonight. Amen. But thank you for being here and being part of this service. And let's go to Him in a word of prayer and ask Him to be with us tonight. Father, we love You and we praise You. And Lord, we thank You. Lord, what a beautiful day it's been. What a great day we've had in Your house today. Thank You, Lord, for the message this morning and the messenger. Thank You for the moving of Your sweet Spirit. And Lord, we've come to this service tonight. And Lord, again, we know a little bit about what it means, but You know all about what it means. And God, tonight, Lord, I pray that You would speak to us. And from Your word, Lord, that You would use Your men. And Lord, tonight, I pray for Brother Jeff and Miss Sharon. And Lord, I pray that You would touch them. Lord, I pray that You would fill this place with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, may Your word speak to us as a church. Lord, I pray that You would help us to be a church that You'd be pleased with to use here in Powder Springs, Georgia. God, tonight I pray that You would be with the offering now, touch the gift and the giver. And again, Lord, just fill this place, and we'll be careful to praise You, we'll be careful to thank You, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
it's good to be here this evening. And giraffe neck. And I want this to be a good experience tonight. And again, the Lord is in charge of the service, and we're just so thrilled and honored to have you, Brother Jeff, and your service to the Lord and coming forth. Miss Sharon, and you being his helpmate. And we're just excited about this evening. And we have a pretty lengthy, I say lengthy, but we'll move things along and keep it flowing. At this time, I'm going to ask all ordained men that are preachers and deacons to come and join us in the choir making up the ordination council. If you are ordained, preacher, deacon, and you're a man, come and join us. And this will make up our ordained council. At this time, I'm calling the church into conference for the express purpose of ordaining Brother Jeff Hodges as deacon here at Calvary Baptist Church. And at this time, I want to ask the elected mouthpiece, Brother Brian Busby, would he come around and present Brother Jeff to the council?
Gentlemen, let me start by saying it's my honor to speak in the interest of my church. And on behalf of my friend and brother Jeff Hodges, I can say for a certainty that this is a good man and a humble man and an honorable man. On October 24th, 1970, Jeff Hodges laid eyes on Miss Sharon for the very first time. And he told me it was love at first sight. And he proved that because 1 month later, before she could get away, he asked her to marry him. And if you can believe it, Brother Jeff and Miss Sharon have been married for 47 years. 47 years of faithfulness. I feel certain that when the Lord designed marriage, that's what he had in mind. Yes. And they love each other, and they support each other, and you have witnessed them serve together in ministry. This is a very special day because Jeff and I are friends. And I look back over my time here at Calvary, and I've just watched what a faithful man that he's been. Jeff and Miss Sharon told me that about 10 years after they were married, the Lord led them to this church. So they've been a member of this church for 37 years. Pastor Snyder told me that Brother Jeff and Miss Sharon were among the most faithful members to his father when his father pastored, to him when he pastored, and now to Brother Hales as he pastors. That's an incredible thing. Brother Jeff has been in the choir all 37 years. He has for nearly four decades shared his talents and his time in our choir. He has used his musical abilities to work with the littlest people in our church. You know that's not easy work. You know that's challenging work, but he is patient and he is consistent in working with those young people. Brother Jeff is the only man that I've ever seen worship with a harmonica. That's the truth. He's also the only man I've ever seen play a saw. That's the truth of the matter. But faithfully and consistently, they have supported this church. Gentlemen, can I ask you, what do you do for decades faithfully and consistently? My suggestion would be that you only do those things faithfully and consistently, decade after decade, those things that are very important to you. And Brother Jeff has demonstrated that this church is very important to him. My favorite thing about Jeff is that he works with our young people. 10 years ago, I began teaching Awanas with him in the Awanas program, and he put great effort into helping children find the sweet salvation that is in Jesus Christ. And Brother Jeff, we did lead some children to Christ, didn't we? And he invested himself in that time. And no matter what we did, though Jeff is past his 39th birthday. He jumped right in, whether it was camping or going to an animal park. I literally saw this man jump off a 20-foot dam when he was in his 60s just to fire the boys up. He walked with a limp for a month afterwards, right? But he was invested all the way in. For the Tree Lot, for our youth group, Brother Jeff was our mayday call. Anytime we were in trouble, we always would reach out to Brother Jeff, and he always sacrificed his time to come out there and help us and to serve. And I don't recall a time ever where Jeff could have said yes that he didn't say yes. He always was there to help us, for sure. Brother Joe has a hilarious story where one day we asked the men of our church, is there anybody who could go on a journey to North Carolina in a snowstorm to pick up some Christmas trees? And he and Brother Joe, who's a huge man, if you don't know him, they got stuck in a snowstorm with a broken down truck and a bad battery, and they had a pack of tuna and two crackers between them, right? And for them, if you heard them tell the story, you'd think it was the Last Supper. But in sincerity, when they told me that story, Brother Jeff didn't tell it to me from a grumbling standpoint. They were stuck in a truck together with no food for many, many hours. They told it to me from a comical standpoint. They said, this is the experience that we have. They've given themselves. I would say a fair estimation, men, is that this man has given thousands, if not tens of thousands of hours of his life to the welfare of this church. He has helped this church, and he has served this church. I give my hearty endorsement to him, and I think with all my heart, I believe he's a worthy candidate for consideration.
You've heard the presentation. Brother Brian, appreciate that. To the ordaining council. Now, church, I'm going to ask for a move and then a second. All right. All in favor, say aye. And now, Brother Jeff is in the care of the ordained council. And so what a blessing that testimony was. Thank you, Brother Brian. Brother Jeff, I want to ask you a minute or two, your personal testimony, your experience of grace, how you came to know the Lord, and feel free, brother, how long you want to share, really. This is your service. You're fine right there. You can stand up. You can...
I was in bed. I was 6 years old. I heard my brother praying, crying actually. And I asked my mother what was wrong, what's going on. And she said, he's asking God to save him so he won't go to hell. And something struck me right there. And I said, well, I don't want to go to hell. Can I be saved too? And I prayed. And I asked Christ to save me. This is a long time ago. I have very little memory of a lot of the details, a lot of the actual words and those kind of things. But I know that shortly after that, I started having a concern for my friends, and I couldn't hardly do anything, you know, committing sins, things like that I knew was wrong. I was immediately convicted of it, and later on, I remember specific times when I would be. One time in particular, I was on my bicycle on my paper route. I was going home, and I just was like the Lord was talking to me. I could hear him very plainly. To go back and witness to one of my customers on my paper route. I didn't know. I'm a kid, you know, all these things, and I couldn't even go home. I couldn't make it. So I went back and witnessed to him, best I knew how. And this happened quite a few times. Also, just very specific people that God would put on my mind and heart. And I would try the best I could to use the verses I was still learning and to try to bring them to Christ. Times when I began to wander and as a young man started to get around other people and beginning to wander and get off the path, I couldn't go very far. And at one point in time, I remember I had apologized to the guys that I had been hanging around with and told them that I apologized because I was a Christian and that I was being a hypocrite. And we parted company. Years later, I started going back over those years, especially the night when I was saved, and trying to recall. I was having a very difficult time trying to remember a lot of the details of my salvation. And it wouldn't leave me alone. It just persisted and persisted and persisted. And I thought, well, you know, I didn't want to take any chances with that. And so it culminated. This was many years later. I came down here and prayed the sinner's prayer with Brother Ceylon. And I was baptized. And I told my family about it. I shared it with my coworkers at the job. And then, you know, just kind of let it gel, if you will. And I still just kept going back over those times. I knew the Lord. I knew the Holy Spirit was in me, man. I knew that He was there. I knew he was there. And I do believe in eternal security. I don't believe, you know, like I lost it and I've messed up the first time. I won't do it again. You know, I got a second go at it. No. There's one time you're saved when you first put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To save you. And so that's where I'm at today. Many of you probably, well, I don't know how many, but some of you probably remember that. I know Brother Ceylon does. And remember that time. And I just want to clear it up. Brother Ben said, you know, you need to nail this down, you know. And I was saved when I accepted Christ with simple, childlike faith.
Yes, amen.
In the Lord Jesus Christ. When I'm teaching those children, though, I tell them, I say, first, you got to know you're a sinner, you're lost, and you can't save yourself. None of the things I said about serving the Lord, that has nothing to do with salvation. I did those because it was in my heart to do them. Because, you know, I did them because I was saved, not in order to be saved. And for anybody listening tonight, you know, I might be going into some of the examination questions, but it's important that you know that you're a sinner, that Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sin. And you place your faith and trust in Him. And with a repentant heart, submit your life to Him. and ask him to save you, and he will. That's what I've taught these children, and that's what I continue to teach. And so I guess that's it for the testimony part of it. And I guess I'm open to the rest of it.
Just hang on to that microphone there, brother. We appreciate that, Brother Jeff. That'll be sufficient from you both on the testimony part. I just want to remind everybody that Brother Jeff is not in an examination to see if he's going to be a deacon or not. He's here because he's met those qualities. And so this is just a celebration, officializing what we already know. And so at this time, Brother Ceylon, would you come and with the articles of faith as you seem fit?
Brother Jeff was presented with quite a few questions about the articles of faith. I'm impressed by his answers. Really, really good answers. I'm not going to go, it's 3 pages long, so I'm not going to go through all of them. But I will ask you a few questions, Jeff, and you can answer these questions by yes or no. Make it easy on you. I just want you to publicly confirm what you've written on these questions, the answers that you've given. First one is, do you believe in the Trinity?
Yes.
God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir, I do.
3 yet 1. All right?
Yes, sir.
That each one of those has a specific work. They're not all the same. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, even though they're one, they had different functions. The Father has a certain function. The Son has a certain function. The Holy Spirit has a certain function. Do you believe, we believe after salvation, the first thing you do is water baptism? Do you believe in water baptism?
Yes, I do. I believe in believers' water baptism.
All right. Do you believe that when you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes and abides within you?
Yes, sir. I just
All right.
went into some of that.
Do you believe God can heal?
Yes, I do.
Physically?
Of course he can.
He doesn't always do it, but he can do it.
According to his will.
There you go. Do you believe a person that's filled with the Holy Spirit, a person that's saved, do you believe that person can be demon-possessed?
No, I do not. The Bible's clear that greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world.
Do you believe that man is in a sinful condition, separated from God? The greatest need that he has is that his sins be forgiven and atoned for by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Amen. Absolutely.
Do you believe the Bible is inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God?
Yes, I do.
All right. Do you believe that the first person, that as a Christian, the first thing our responsibility should be to spread the gospel?
That is correct. Yes, I do.
All right. Do you believe in being a faithful, and we've already heard you do, but do you believe in faithful service and supporting your church?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I'm satisfied.
All right, I appreciate that, Brother Jeff. Now, I'm going to ask the council to give a move and a second to accept the examination from Brother Jeff.
I'll make a move to accept the examination.
A second.
Yeah. All in favor say aye. All right. Now, our next item is going to be Brother Snyder. So if you want to make your way around, of course, it's customary, of course, primarily biblical to challenge the candidate. And so that's what Brother Snyder is going to do at this time.
Bless the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor. It's an honor for me to be here, Jeff and Sharon, for a lot of reasons, primarily because I suppose I know your public witness about as good as anybody, having served here with you for about almost 40 years, serving with you and then trying to serve as your pastor. And I was always honored that you allowed me to do that. When I accepted the call from this church, my dad told me, he said, in ministry you'll have trouble from a lot of people that will surprise you. He said, Jeff and Sharon Hodges won't be one of them. I'm proud to say after 24 years of being your pastor, Ben was right. He was right. I've never had one word of conflict or contention or anything that you guys have been a part of. And that is something to be said. And I am grateful. I'm grateful for that. I'm happy that this church is doing this tonight. I'm glad that Brother Justin is correcting my mistake, because I should have done this a long time ago. So I'm proud that he's given me this opportunity for the invitation you gave me to be here. I'm going to work from the assumption, I understand the pastor preached this morning from Acts chapter 6. I'm going to work from the assumption you remember that message. I mean, it hadn't been all that long, folks. Work with me here. So I am not going to read that whole passage for the sake of time, because we still have a little bit to do. And then I think there's a little time of fellowship. I'm not sure, but I want to just touch on that. So if you have your Bible and would turn, I'm going to read a couple of verses and just jump over them. Again, not to repeat what he has done, but to connect, if I can, the role of the deacon and the effectiveness that they can have in a church. I am absolutely committed. I'm absolutely committed to this truth, Brother Jeff and Sharon. A deacon can be one of the greatest blessings in a church, or it can be one of the greatest hindrances in a church. You will decide which one you are. You will decide. So going on what my dad said, you're in good standing. Of course, typically when I say something like that, the next day they lose their mind and they go off on something. So sorry, Pastor. My apologies. But anyway, in the book of Acts, chapter number 6, when you get there, say, got it. All right, in verse number 1, it speaks about the difficulties that had arisen within the church. The church had been under attack in chapter 4, been suffering persecution. Then in chapter 5, that didn't work from the outside. As a matter of fact, the church grew. Then in chapter 5, the devil tries another tact, and that is to subvert the church from the inside. And then we run across Ananias and Sapphira. That didn't work. And so he decided that he would try to do something else. And so he's trying to build discord within the church. He couldn't destroy it from the outside. He couldn't weaken it from the inside with this struggle that they had about the finances. So he began to do what is the deadliest, the absolute deadliest, the what? The deadliest thing you can have in a church, and that is murmuring and gossiping going on underneath the surface. Because I'm telling you, you can deal with a problem that's out. You can deal with those things. You can confront them. But when you get this, oh, I didn't mean to, you know, if that ever happens, that is the most deadly thing in a church, because you can never identify the source and you can never stop it effectively without taking actions that nobody wants to take. And so that's what he's using now. He's still doing that in our churches today. And you hear about these struggles. You're being asked to take a position. And I'm not one to blow smoke at people. I don't say a whole lot of, I don't brag on people a lot, but I will tell you this. I've been to a lot of meetings, Brother Allen. I know you've been to them too. And when you go, you hear preachers' meetings especially, you'll hear them talking about the deacons did this and the deacons did that and the deacons did the other. And it's like one thing after another. And they've said to me, Brother Snyder, you know what that's like? And I said, actually, I don't. I don't. I'm not boasting, but as long as I've been here, and I've been here 40-something years, this church has been blessed with men who had a heart to advance the cause of this Christ. Amen. Jeff, I charge you and I challenge you, do not break that chain. Your role is to be supportive of the pastor, a servant to the church. And I think you'll see this here, what happens when that happens. He says that the Aramaic-speaking Jews, the Hebrews, were having difficulties with the Hellenistic Jews, who were the Greek-speaking Jews, who had been in other areas of the province. And they were saying that they were not being cared for. And the deacon said an interesting thing. The deacons. And then the apostle said an interesting thing. He said this in verse 12. He said, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, what's interesting is we use this for the ordination and the description of deacons, and the word is not used here except where it says serve. It is a variation of the word deacon. So he said, we should not be leaving the ministry of the word and giving ourselves to prayer so that we can deacon the tables. So your job, the job of the deacon, is to be supportive of what this church does. You understand the ministry of the church as well as anybody. You've served in practically every capacity here, so you know what that is. But then he says, pick you out. He says this, wherefore, brethren, look you out. Look in your midst and find seven men that have these qualities, that are able to carry on and serve the Lord in a way that advances the cause of Christ. And they lay these out, and then they're given to us in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And the interesting thing is this. Your qualifications for this office, your qualifications for serving, are being settled tonight. The value of that choice for this church will be revealed over time. Does that make sense? It'll be settled tonight. Qualification issue will be over as soon as the pastor says it is. But it will be years. It'll be years. I remember when I was talking to my dad one night and I was struggling with whether or not I was being called into the ministry. And I went up and the church had asked me to accept it. And I went up and I talked with him one night. We stood outside under his carport. It was like 1:30 in the morning. And we were talking and I kept expressing to him my apprehension about it. I said, I just don't know. I don't know if I can do this. And he said this to me. I had my Bible and he took my Bible and he held it up in my face. And he said, son, if you didn't know a thing about God, you could take this home, and by sunrise, you will know what you got when you got God. But it will be years before the world knows what God got when he got you. So serve humbly. You are not doing people a favor by serving them. You're not doing God a favor. you're being obedient to a call that's put on your life. That's what you remember. You serve out of that. As long as you serve out of a heart of honesty and integrity and commitment to your call, it won't matter what other people do. If you serve to be accepted, if you serve to fit in, if you serve to be able to gain something that you need to fulfill some empty spot in your life, if that's what you do, you will constantly be at the mercy of up and down people that you never know. You'll never know. But if you walk with God and you serve God because He led you to serve Him, it won't matter what they do. They cannot affect your love for God. And they most assuredly will never affect God's love for you. So I want you to look for just a moment in this. And so he names off these seven men. He says they're talked about Stephen being full of the Holy Ghost and faith. And listen, but here's the culmination of this little section. Well, the apostles laid their hands on, they prayed and they laid their hands on them, signifying not that they're transferring any power, but they are identifying. It was a mark of identification to lay your head when the priest laid his head on the goat and on the sheep. It was to identify with them. It wasn't to take their sins. It was to identify that says, this is who we are. You are one of this group of body of believers and servants who have been chosen by this church to do what the role of the deacon is. And it says, here's the result of that. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. These deacons were so effective that it caused the church, the word of God increased, it spread. The church grew numerically and spiritually, and even some of the priests got saved. It's always a good thing when a preacher's saved. So it always works to our good when that happens. When we say to give the charge to the candidate, let me tell you what I mean by that. And I want to give you this and I'll hush. When I say I charge you, what I mean is I'm challenging you. I'm calling on your commitment. I'm encouraging you to follow through on your faith. And I am expecting, I being a representative of the church, I am expecting you to be found worthy of the walk that Paul talked about. So to that end, let me just say this to you, Jeff. Using Stephen as the model, I want you to know this. He was selected carefully. He said, you pick him out. You go and decide who are the ones whose life is such that people would respond to them and have confidence in them. They wanted somebody who had a personal relationship with the Lord. And this is not something that's been done without prayer. It's not something that's been done without thought. This is not something this church has taken lightly. Because what has happened is you have been selected to help meet the needs of this church family. And you've been chosen to help fulfill the purpose of the church body. You with me? You are to help these people with their spiritual issues to the extent you can. You're to be a part of helping meet needs in their lives. It's not your job to interfere. It's not your job to insert yourself where you're not wanted. It is your job to be available. It is your job to be concerned about the body, the church family. You are being ordained to serve this family. You're being ordained to spread the gospel, to help spread the mission of this church to this world. Secondly, I charge you that you will serve willingly, not begrudgingly. Not like, well, all right, I have to go. I got a call from the preacher. I'm sure he wants me to do something. Let me say this to you, Jeff. You're not being ordained as an assistant manager of the church. Amen. All right? You're not. When he says we'll point them over the business, it's whatever meets the physical and the spiritual needs of the church body. That's what we do. And I'm so grateful that through those years that I've been able to serve with some of these men here behind me. And that's exactly what they have done. They've stood behind me. They have supported me. And they've prayed for you. We think nothing less will happen from you than exactly that. After this service tonight, you will be moving from being served to the role of being a servant. So whatever you want with them to do, you may want to hustle. Too late. Remember when I said they weren't any trouble? Don't believe it. When you take the position, you accept the responsibility. That's what you're called to do. That's what you are sitting here today. You've been singled out. That's why you sit here. Not so you can have a good picture, a good seat near me. You've been called out. This is symbolically stating you have been called out of the body of this church for the express purpose of serving this church body. At the conclusion of this, you will be given back to take your rightful seat out there, to become one of them, but you have a little different responsibility now. Also, not only are you to serve willingly, you're to speak honestly and accurately. You are to be known for your commitment to integrity and honesty. You are to live in such a way that you can give insights into things in the Word of God. You are to never, ever, how often? Never take sides if there's an issue. Your job is to lead them both to a resolution. And with God's help, losing nobody in the process. You do not take sides in any issue. If you disagree with something that goes on in a deacon's meeting, but they vote to do it, you don't come out here saying, well, I ain't doing it, but I sure wasn't in favor. No, you present a unified front as a deacon, and you come out here and say, here's what we do together. And then if it falls apart, you can always pull the pastor into his study and say, I told you. But I don't think you'd do that. He stands faithfully. Not only does he serve willingly and speak honestly, but he stands faithfully. He's always trying to do something that will advance the cause. He uses grace and he uses wisdom in the dealing of these things. You have a great way with kids. And I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody here that doesn't like y'all. I don't. It may have developed since I've been gone, but there was nobody here, you know, when I was here. But you stand faithfully in difficult times. Stephen is the pattern. When everybody around you is trying to do you harm, you dig very, very deeply into your spirit and you find a reason and a way to ask God to forgive them. When you do that, you are a model for others in this church who go through struggles and who go through battles. You are to live responsibly. In 1 Timothy, I have about 2 minutes. 1 Timothy, before I get pulled, my coat gets pulled on. Let me just give you this, a summary. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 8, it says this, you are to be grave. In other words, you are to be serious about the duty and the responsibilities that have been put on you. It doesn't mean you walk around with this sad, cumbersome look about you. And somebody says, Jeff, what are you doing? You say, I'm being spiritual because I'm a deacon now. Your job is to be serious about your responsibility, but do it in a way that shows joy. If you can show that, that makes you attractive. I don't mean that's necessarily you, Jeff, but your walk, your witness, that makes you attractive to a lost world, that somebody could be able to stand. It says, don't be double-tongued. Be who you are. Say what you say. Don't tell one side one thing. Go over here and tell somebody else something else. You, if you'll stay in the Word, you'll always be safe. Don't take sides. And when they say something to you, and they will, you don't say, I know, that's the way they are. I don't know why they do that, but we're going to work through it. No, because when they go out, they're going to say, that person really did so-and-so, and Brother Jeff, our newest deacon, agrees with me. And you know how many of those you need for your effectiveness to blow up? One. Because then you'll get tagged as somebody who can't keep confidential issues confidential. You'll be tagged as somebody who plays favorites within the church. Don't do that. And you will continue to have the witness and the blessing of God on you. It also says don't be greedy of filthy lucre. In other words, understand, have a right spiritual attitude about finances. In other words, you're honest in the way you earn it. You're wise in the way you spend it, and you're generous in the way you share it. And if you will do that, people will know who you are, and they'll follow you. They will follow you if they know you're serving out of an honest heart. He says, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. A pure conscience because your conduct is consistent with your public testimony. When those things get sideways and that starts happening, You're done. He said, let them be proved. In other words, a life that can withstand the examination of a lost world, because they're always looking for a reason not to believe a Christian. Can withstand that. He says, let them use the office of the deacon. Use it wisely. The church gives you the office. Your character and your conduct will give you the witness. All the church can do is give you the office. You will determine the witness through your conduct. Sharon, I'll just simply say this. I know they're going to speak to you in a moment. It says that there are certain things that you must do, and that is you need to respect the role that this church has asked your husband to serve. There'll be times he'll be called to go do something, and you'd rather him do something else. It's at that point that you will decide whether you'll stand with that call or whatever. Having said that, you don't use your call as an excuse not to be what you ought to be at home. You know, well, I'd love to cut the grass, but I'm waiting on Brother Justin. He may call me. You know. Don't ever ask him to compromise confidentiality. When the pastor tells him something in confidence, it is for him to keep. If you can't keep it to yourself, we need to wrap this thing up now and go downstairs and eat. Can you do that? Don't ever, Sharon, you must be wise in the things you say. And I will say this too, having said that, I've never known you to do anything that spread anything, ever. Now, you may do it, but you've been slick because I have never heard about it. You're good. If you do it, you are good. Don't speak ill of another church member for this reason. Whatever you say, they will ascribe it as coming from him. And if you get crossways and you say something about them, they'll think he agrees with you and his effectiveness in resolving that is done. You want to be clean and standard and keep a high standard. And then lastly, in control of your home. It's one that says that we consistently teach. We consistently hold the word of God up. That's our responsibility. We have to do that. It says we have to control our house. We control what we see in our house. We can't control whether they accept that or not. We can't accept what our kids do when they get older. But you can always be clean before God in knowing you always presented what God wanted done. And then lastly, as a result of that, you heard in verse number 7, the church will grow substantial, has grown substantially. You help create an environment in this church that invites physical growth and enables spiritual growth. Caring for the physical needs of the church touches hearts. Caring for the spiritual needs of the church touches eternity. As a result of what happens here tonight, brother, the church will have new support. The church will have a stronger humble servant, and the world will have a strong witness. Thank you for letting me speak to you.
So the ordination sermon can be divided into two parts. There's the challenge to the candidate, and then there's the challenge to the church. And I'm only going to be a few minutes tonight. We got a few other things we need to do, and then also we have the meal prepared. So three ways, church. We mentioned some of this morning, but we will mention just three simple things right on the surface in the pages of God's Word. Three ways that we could help Brother Jeff and all the other deacons as being his church. Ways we can support him. Number one is by prayer. Pray for him. Pray for Miss Sharon. And when I say pray, more specifically, I'm talking about interceding prayer. Because we don't always know where Brother Jeff is at when he comes in. We may see him physically, but we don't know where he's at mentally or spiritually. Same thing for Miss Sharon would be interceding prayer. Now, if you still have your Bibles open, we're going to remain in the book of Acts, but chapter number 12 and verse number 5 is a wonderful example of interceding prayer from the church to one of the apostles. We know that in chapter number 12, book of Acts, verse number 1, Herod, which is a type of the devil, is making havoc upon the children of God, the apostles and disciples. He says in verse 1, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." So we have Peter, and he is right in the middle. Two soldiers on the left, two soldiers on the right, and he is chained. And he's in prison. And now we have in verse number 5 that there's a care and a concern from the church about Peter. Verse 5 says, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." This could be a picture of an individual, someone who was sold out to God, serving God, a Christian, today a deacon, one that is in some kind of a strait in their life, some kind of place that's dark. Peter was in a dark prison. He was chained, and he was in a situation where it didn't look good, looked bleak. Nobody's heard from him. And I say that to say this, that many times, I mean, we come into church and we smile and we shake hands, but we really don't know where we're at, do we? I mean, we don't know each other's heart unless we express it. And many times we cross paths with our church family, and some may be in dark places, some may be in places of bondage. And I said that to say this, Jeff, that we're praying for you. We love you. We love you too, Miss Sharon. And we're praying for y'all individually, but we're praying for you as a couple as well, interceding for you. We pray for you the good times. We pray for you in the troublesome times. But we will intercede. And I call this kind of praying bridge builders. It's because the times in life where there's a disconnection, and you may feel in your spirit that one of your members may be down, or one of your deacons may be down, you build a bridge through prayer. You intercede for them. And this is just an example from Peter when he was in prison. The church had prayer for him. And so, church, tonight, my challenge to you is to pray for them. Let's don't take anybody for granted that they're here and they're at full throttle and their spiritual life is excelled to the maximum and they're doing great. Don't ever expect that everybody's always okay. Somebody is always hurting. And so let's get in our prayer closets and let's pray for this sweet couple. Number two, not only, that's one way to help Brother Jeff and the deacons is to pray, but then encourage. Encourage, book of Acts, a chapter prior, chapter number 11. Look in verse number 23. Now, this is speaking of Barnabas here. Verse number 23, let's read verse 22, then 23. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came, had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. As Pastor Snyder just said a moment ago, operating out of your spiritual gift, operating out of that passion between you and the Lord is your calling. And the same goes for preachers and anybody else that's serving in the church. Barnabas came to encourage. He's seen the grace of God. He knew God was working and multiplying the early church here. But he was always cautious to encourage. There again, we don't know where people are at when they come in. There's the smile and the handshake. And Brother Jeff, there's times where you're going to be overloaded. There's going to be times where you have your family stuff you have going on, a full plate there. And who knows what else you have going on. But our job is to encourage you. And you'll be surprised a little bit goes a very long way in the matter of encouragement. Sometimes all it takes is saying, it's good to see you. Have you been? Want to let you know you're a blessing. And someone that is struggling and someone that is, I mean, they are battling the devil, battling the flesh, battling the world, trying to walk in their calling. Sometimes that's all it takes is a, Brother Jeff, I want to let you know you're a blessing to me. A little bit goes a long way. And so we see tonight that Barnabas, son of consolation, he was one who encouraged. Again, who when he came, he had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Church, let's encourage these, Jeff and Sharon, to cleave unto the Lord. Number three, and we're going to move forward with the service. Pray, encourage, but then serve with. Is another way that the church can be a help to Brother Jeff is that we serve with him. Back in chapter number 6, if you notice in verse number 1, the Bible says, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied. We said this morning that in chapter number 2, by the preaching of the word and the embracing of the word, the church went from 120 to 3,000. And now we're in chapter number 6, and there are multiplied probably thousands of disciples and believers. But only 7 were chosen to be a deacon. That leaves multitudes of co-laborers. Multitudes of co-laborers, those helpers of the faith. Again, in verse number 1, there were multitudes. And we see in verse number 2 that the Bible says, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason, it is not suitable, it's not God-pleasing that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. And then verse 3, look ye out and choose the 7 men. But there are multitudes. Brother Jeff, I want to say, Miss Sharon, that you have a church that's behind you that has already been serving with you. As Pastor Snyder just said, the number of years, the experiences you have together, working with the kids, the teens, the adults, just all these experiences, that's all you've known is a church that co-labors with you. And that's going to continue. That's going to continue from me all the way to every member of the church. Church, let's back them up and serve with them. Three ways, church, we can be there for Brother Jeff. Pray, encourage, and serve with. At this time, I'm going to ask Brother Allen, Brother Alan Young, if he would come around and give the ordination prayer.
Well, first of all, I do want to say, Brother Jeff, Sister Sharon, it is an honor to stand before you and say this prayer. I've known you guys for a long time, and I don't think that the pastors could have a better choice. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, as we bow into your presence, God, I just want to ask you, sir, to not only bless this service, which you have, but to cover and anoint this dear brother and his wife for spirit of service. Father, from the very beginning, you have asked, after you called out the church, you have asked certain ones to be set aside to answer divine call. The church has done that, and Lord, the servant has heard and answered. Now, Father, I pray that you cover Brother Jeff and Sister Sharon with a service of humility, with purpose, with faithfulness, quick to encourage, and sir, also quick to forgive. To accept the challenges, God, that will allow them to see successes. And along with that, God, too, they will see disappointments. I pray, God, during those times that you strengthen their hearts. I pray, God, that you encourage their ability to stay faithful with you. Lay on their heart a desire to serve and not to be served. To discern the needs of those around them. And the fortitude to help meet them, to love unconditionally and to honor and obey the word, to serve the people and to uplift the pastor's hands, God, when they get tired, the spirit of Aaron and her. I ask you, sir, for them to support and be loyal, not only to you, but to be faithful in obedience, God, to your word. I pray, God, that everything that is said and done, Lord, will be for your uplifting, your glory, and your honor. And also this church, God, I pray that you allow them or give them a desire to let this dear couple, Brother Jeff, serve them in their times of need. Pray, God, that you give Jeff a discernment to know the needs, the wisdom, God, to know what to do. And also, God, the humility to come and ask for help from these other men around them that you've set aside to serve. And I pray, God, for the other deacons here in this church, for them to corral around them. Be the example for him. Take him under their wing. To be an example, God, to set forth the love unconditionally. Forgive always. And to stand strong in you. Now, God, as we set aside this service, come the end time of this service, God, allow us to be quick to see the difference in Brother Jeff after he has answered your call, the divine appointment, the biblical calling. Honor him. Sir, I pray that you honor his faithfulness to honor you by being obedient to say, yes, sir, I'll serve. I pray, God, that you give Brother Justin, God, discernment towards this dear brother, to be able to see the times when he needs a little spoken words of encouragement. I pray, God, that you give him also the wisdom to know what to say and when to say. Now, God, I pray again, Brother Jeff and Sister Sharon, that you give them the ability to serve, but also, God, put distractions and hindrance in front of them in areas of which they should not cross. To be obedient to the honor and the calling of your most precious word. We asked you that, sir, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Jeff, we are working on a real nice certificate for you. And we have plans on presenting that to you this next Sunday morning. And but I'm going to ask Brother Don Nettles, if he would, to come around. And we want to present you from the church to you a Bible for your deacon ordination. Just a couple of remarks to Miss Sharon and the family. Your daughter is with us. And it's already been said, Miss Sharon, and but from this point on, you are committing to share your husband with and in the work of the ministry. That's a calling. And for a couple to be willing to share their spouse of time you won't get back. It's a definite calling from God, and you both have that. Brother Jeff, you have that calling. Miss Sharon, the support you give. 47 years, is it, of marriage speaks for itself. And you're inviting your schedule to be changed at times for the support of God's people. You already know that. And so just those remarks to you, Miss Sharon. Of course, I know you have a well-supporting daughter, and we just had a chance to meet not long ago, and you guys took the girls skating, and I know she'll be supportive, as she always has been. At this time, I'm going to ask the ordaining council for presentation of candidate back to the church as an ordained deacon. And, of course, this is done by the ordaining council, so I'm going to need a move. In a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Jeff, you're almost back into the care of the church. You're midair. And I am going to ask, I wanted Brother Snyder to come around, if he would, for one more gift and a couple words to you. And we're getting ready to close it up.
This book says, now that you're a deacon, this book will give you, Jeff, the information you need to fulfill the role. Humility is what will make you effective in that office. So I encourage you to read it with a humble heart, prayerful heart, and share it.
Right, and so we've already moved and seconded and accepted from the ordaining council to move Brother Jeff as an ordained deacon back to the church. And now I want to ask of the church to accept Brother Jeff as an ordained deacon and back into the fellowship. I need a move and a second. All in favor say aye. All right, and of course, ordaining council, gentlemen. I need to entertain a motion for the dismissal of the membership.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Appreciate you men for serving. And lastly, I need from the church a move and a second to close the service. All in favor?
Oh,
do a redo? A move and a second? All in favor say aye. All right. Well, food. We've got food downstairs. I want to, again, just say congratulations, Brother Jeff, and your support, Miss Sharon. We love you both. God's working at Calvary like he has through the years. He is doing a new thing, and we're so honored to be part of it. And God bless you. I want to ask Brother David Henderson if he would give us the honors of closing out this ordination service in a word of prayer. And then we'll go downstairs and eat. Go ahead and bless it while you're at it. Yeah. Two quick things. Next